You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Good morning. Our scripture reading this morning will be in 2 Timothy, the last book that Paul wrote. In chapter 4, we'll read the first 5 verses. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itchy ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And now, Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd add your blessing to this, the reading of your holy word, because we do ask it in Christ's name for his sake. Amen.
I hope you still have your Bible at 2 Timothy chapter 4. We got up here on Wednesday. This church has been busy for the last week or two, hasn't it? A lot of things have been going on, really all of them we can rejoice over. I was thinking yesterday, at the retreat, that Champ and Derek both spoke, and back when this church first started, their dads were very operative, and I learned along with both Bill and Ben some of the things that God was teaching through Dr. Mike. And the thing that was fascinating about it is that I was with their daddies, and now both of them know more about it than I do. That really is frustrating. I'll bet on that. They did a fantastic job. Let me tell you, you have so much talent, as it were, God's gifts of being able to communicate the Word of God, and I was just real impressed. I'm glad to be here. Getting up here on Wednesday, and Sarah and Linda wanted to get away from me. Joe had to work. He really didn't, but he wanted to get away from me too. They just left me to town. Let me tell you something. Because I got more work accomplished, I believe, just paperwork. I got to redo. I've gone through the entire Gospel of John to go back and redo it. And if it's any consolation, I had more red marks on it than y'all did. So I want to honestly thank you for caring enough about what we're teaching that you will take the time and the effort to not only go through it, hopefully learn a few things, but then maybe correct a lot of things so it will be better. Now, I wouldn't have always said that. I'd said, if you don't like it, you just, but as you get older, I learned that there were parents in my life that corrected me, and sometimes harshly. Had I lived today, I could have filed suit on them for child abuse. But do you know why they corrected me harshly? Because they cared more about me than any other kid. They wanted me to be the man. I had a football coach. But I thought if anybody had ever operated on his skull, they'd have found nothing but pig skin. But I learned a few years out away from him that he loved me enough that he would not allow me to be a loafer that I would like to have been. He would not allow me to be the mouth that I was prone to be. He'd not allow me to do some things that I wanted to do. He drove me, because he knew if he didn't drive me, I wasn't one to be led. Believe me. I wouldn't have gone if I hadn't been driven. So I thank God for that. And so I am looking forward tonight. And one of the reasons that I don't worry much about it, you're a very smart church in the fact that you eat after the discussion. So I know we won't get tied up long. That is good. I would have been much, much more worried about this if we'd have eaten before the discussion. So I am looking forward to it. Paul's last book. I believe that it's the last book ever written. I believe Revelation was written back in the Acts period, but that's just my belief. but it's right. But the last book that Paul ever wrote, Paul's sitting in a prison. Paul is writing this from a prison in which he is serving time for breaking the law. Now, he served a lot of time just because they didn't know what to do with him. He served time just so they could protect him and keep the Jews from killing him. But in this book, he tells us that he's serving time as an evil doer. He's broken the law. Some have said that Caesar said he would be worshipped as God, and Paul wouldn't do that. Therefore, that was breaking the law, and so Paul has been incarcerated. I don't know why. The Bible doesn't say why, other than the fact that Paul's in prison. This is the last chapter that Paul ever pens, and he writes it to a young man that Paul loved dearly, Timothy. And here are his last orders, as it were. In fact, he starts it out, I charge thee. One of the things that I talked about yesterday in the men's deal was that when Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he said, I beseech ye that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you call. That means I beg you. Paul knew that the way for them to be happy, the way for them to enjoy life, was to walk and to fulfill a vocation that God had called him to. Now, whether you and I do the walking or not is our choice. We have no choice about the vocation. You've been called. God's the one that instituted that, not you and I. We don't say, I really believe that I'm not being called. Yes, you are. Paul said we're to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we're called. But he said, I beg you to do that. But now then, notice what he's saying. He said, I charge thee. I'm challenging you, Timothy. I'm telling you, Timothy. He is very emphatic about this. He said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and as his kingdom, preach the word. If you need to know the difference kind of between the quick and the dead, drive on freeways. That's about all I can tell you. Because there's judgment coming, he said. See, it just ain't over till it's over. Just because we leave this life does not mean that we'll not stand before the one who gave himself for it. He said, there's coming a judgment. Timothy, listen to me. He said, I'm charging you, Timothy, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom two different times, preach the word. Notice this. He said, preach the word. This is kind of an unusual word for Paul because he's been teaching Timothy about teaching the word. But here he said, you preach the word. Now, some people think that teaching and preaching, the only difference is one's louder than the other. That's not the difference. See, teaching is that we're introducing someone to something new. Preaching is that we're reminding them to do it. That's why he says here, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, and you won't get the pastor along. Well, that's in Leland's translation. Hey, you might as well buy mine as everybody else. I like this. He didn't say translate the word. He said preach the word. Now, how are you going to preach it if you don't have it? See, if we don't have the word of God inerrant, then you don't have to do this. We're free. Say, Lord, I really would have, God, but we didn't have it. I couldn't find the original. Huh? He said, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Sometimes we just want to do it when it's easy. And there are seasons. There are times when things go better and times when they don't. But he said, you just keep preaching the word. Preach the word. Be instant. You continue at it. Get with it. In season, out of season. There's this urgency. He said reprove. What does reprove mean? It means point out what's wrong. Oops. Don't tell me. Don't tell me how I ought to live. Paul said, Timothy, you get out there and tell them how they ought to live. Timothy, you reprove. Reprove is pointing out what's wrong. And we sometimes need to start that, not at the White House, but at the church house. Many of our problems, we would not probably, had we done it right in the church house, not have the problems we got in the White House. Go back to me and let's go back to you. But he said reprove. Then he said rebuke. Not only did he say you point out what's wrong, but then you get on them about it. You rebuke them for doing it. It doesn't mean just to say, well, you know what's that. He got on us for not doing it. Reprove, rebuke, and then he said exhort. And those of us that might reprove and rebuke sometimes just stop at that. We like to tell everybody what to do. You ever notice that? Primarily, that's probably more prevalent with wives than husbands. Straighten that tie. You know, for somebody, I'm fascinated. For somebody that doesn't know much about dressing himself, I never understood why Linda says, how does this look? Have you ever thought about that, guys? You know, does this look all right? How do I know? I didn't know what color tie to put on yet. Why are you asking me? You know, there's some good things about old age. You can turn these down and off. I've always kind of had selective hearing, but now I can really do it. That's why Linda will come to me many times after she's tried to discuss something with me and bring me my hearing aid. Said, here, put these on. I said, oops. Now I'm going to get it. Okay. Now, then he said exhort. Exhort means to encourage. Get people up. Now, we can get them down and say, hey, this is wrong. Stop doing it. But let's start doing it right. We can do it right. All of you, or most of you, familiar, and I'm glad to see some faces I do not recognize. That's great. But many of you are familiar that we go into prisons. Next weekend, and by the way, this is why that tonight or coming in here and y'all cross-examining me won't bother me. I'm having it done sometime by murderers, rapists, and those type of people. Okay. We go into prison, but I will be in, we would be down below Houston next week in a prison doing a marriage seminar. The next weekend, we'll be in another prison, one closer to home in La Mesa, Texas, doing a discipleship type of seminar. And the good thing that I like about what we do, tomorrow night I will be before some parolees. Doing a substance abuse class from the Bible. The thing I like about this is the hope. I don't care where you've been, what you've done, or how many times you've done it. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. There's the encouragement. Hey, if you woke, in fact, many times I tell them, if you woke up this morning, there's hope. God can solve your problem. And if you as a Christian, those of you that are Christians, I don't care how bad it gets, God can solve your problem. There is hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to encourage one another along that line. Not only do we point out what's wrong, that's pretty easy to see what's wrong. And back when I was in the business world, one of the guys that I was in business with was very, very ideal, very perceptive about getting to the bottom line on things. And he would make the statement at times, look, we all can identify the problem. We need somebody to come up with a solution. Now, the solution is not only here's what's wrong, but here's the way to do it right, and let's start doing it. You and I can do it because we're empowered by God's Holy Spirit. Get it? Right. Now, then he said, for the time will come. I'm not a prophet, prophet's son, but one thing I do know. We're 1,900 plus years closer to the time than when Paul wrote it. I think maybe today he might say it's here. I don't know. I'm sure it's going to get worse because he says in this book, telling Timothy, that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. So we can look forward to it. This is why it's so important that you and I walk this walk that he's talking to Timothy about. Because things are not going to get better other than maybe just a temporary situation. They're going to get worse and worse because that's the way that men are going. But he said the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Sound doctrine we get from teaching. We introduce those things. And then we try to keep it sound by preaching, exhorting, reproving those that do not do it, rebuking those because they won't, and exhorting them, encouraging them to do it. But he said the time is going to come when they will not endure sound doctrine. I want you to notice this. But after their own lust, not the powers of Satan. After their own lust, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. It's a choice. These people are not deceived by Satan and not known in better. The deception comes because people refuse the reception. Then you have deception. Notice that because they turn their ears from the truth, it says they shall turn their ears from the truth, and then they shall be turned unto fables. This is why we've got all kinds of junk going around that we're trying to put into the Bible somewhere or make it part of the gospel, or somebody comes up with something new. We need to remember, I'm sure Paul didn't come out with the KISS method, but I believe that he would have certainly endorsed it. That's just keep it simple, stupid. Maybe he would have said it not like that, just keep it simple, saint. But what he's saying here, just preach the word. Be instant in season. Now, just keep on doing it. So, well, we tried that. Nobody's coming. Now, that's not what he said. He didn't say preach it as long as it works. Well, we're just, you know, of all the things sometimes I get tired of, it's people sitting around whining about, here I am, I'm doing God's will, nobody cares. Why are you doing God's will? To cause people to applaud? Or because you just want to serve the Lord? See, minding your responsibility is just serving, to obey Him. He takes care of the rest of it. That's His job. By the way, He will do it well. But He said they will turn their ears from truth and shall be turned unto fables. Now we're going to get to the verse I'm going to get to. He said, but watch thou in all things. Number one, watch. One. This word appears a lot in the Bible, especially in the New Testament. Paul uses the word watch quite a bit. And most of us just read it and don't pay much attention to it. Christ, you remember, He used the word. He told His disciples, watch. Will you watch with me for 1 hour? Watch. Most of us are not very alert to what's going on. We're not watching. when it came to praying, Paul said, watch. Well, what are we going to watch? Well, watch and see how God answers it. Most time we keep praying after God's already answered the prayer, because we are not familiar with the fact that no is an answer. God might just say no. You hear people, I've said it, God hasn't answered my prayer, which means God hadn't answered my prayer the way I wanted it answered. But he might have answered it because he said no. That's an answer. Sometime he says later. But he said, watch. Thou in all things endure affliction. We don't even endure discomforts without whining about them, let alone afflictions. We don't have cable. Well, you can't find a house in Oklahoma City that doesn't have color TV. Now we're working with cable. I have a friend that does street ministry. I have a lot of respect for him. And little by little, he's building a place. Doing a lot of his own work. But God has given him a place, and he brings the kids in off the street. Just street kids. And preaching the gospel to them. He gives out a lot of stuff. A lot of food. Tries to help the poor. Gives out a lot of clothes. But a few years ago, he said, I want to see people saved. I'm tired of just not getting people saved. God's called me to get people saved, and we'll use food and clothes and this type of stuff to do that, but we're going to try to use God's things wisely. And so the people who had once come to him, and he'd handed them clothes, and he'd handed them food, and they left with them, came to him, and he said, where do you live? Let me have your address. I will be there. And they said, no. He said, I will bring the stuff. I will bring it to you. Let me tell you what he was doing. And this pretty good-sized guy, and he's pretty muscular, he walked in their house, and the first thing he did, if the TV wasn't on, he turned it on, and if they had cable, they got nothing. He just turned around and left. He said, if you can afford cable, you can afford food. If they didn't have cable, his next stop, he went to the refrigerator. He said, Leland, you won't believe some of those people had much more food than I had. He said, they're loaded with food. He went to see if there was a need. That's handling God's provisions rightly. And it takes time and it takes effort. But most of the people, we don't know much about enduring affliction. He said, Timothy, you may get to learn how to do that. We that have taught may get to see if we can walk. Because those of you that have been watching, and I think this church is pretty good at that. But if you've been watching, you're seeing slowly but surely that the name Christian and fundamental Christian is taken a picture of being a bad, bad individual in our society. We may get to suffer some affliction. But he said you learn to endure it. Endure it carries you a little further than just suffering for some of it. He said, you endure it. Don't whine about it. Endure affliction. Then the next thing, he said, watch in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist. Paul listed in the book of Ephesians the gifts of Christ. Apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists. He only picked one in his last letter to Timothy. He said, Timothy, do the work. He didn't say do the work of an apostle, and Timothy was an apostle. He didn't say do the work of a teacher, and Timothy was a teacher. But he said, do the work of an evangelist. We know what that means. In fact, to some extent, we that have learned some things in Scripture, maybe at times almost look down on somebody in evangelism and say, well, they don't really know the truth that I know. I'm going to tell you something about knowing the truth that you and I know. If you don't share it with anybody, you can forget it anyway. doing the work of the evangelist. And it's work, but it's telling people, number one, about Jesus Christ. We have a lot of people in the prison ministry that kind of look down on those ministries that go in and just blast them with evangelism. And they say, well, we want to go in and disciple the inmate. Who are you going to disciple if nobody got him saved? You can't disciple a lost man. See, our job is first get them saved. We're out here trying to get them to stop booze. Now we got a sober lost man instead of a drunk lost man. Great big deal. Okay? We are not getting the message of Jesus Christ to them. Last week, in my substitute is Christ on Tuesday afternoon, we took one scripture. This is really dealing substance abuse. I'm telling you, big time. And it wasn't in Proverbs on stay away from the wine while it's red. You know what verse we took? 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No, that's not 1 John. I'm giving you another verse. Yeah, is that right? Okay. If we can say, we're dealing with Jesus Christ, then the questions are, what do we need to do? Who saves us? Who does the saving? How long are we saved? And just what do we need to do? Do we need to quit drinking? Do we need to quit drugging? What do we need to do? Because I'm telling you that one thing that God has shown us in these years of going into prison, that when Jesus Christ comes into the heart of an individual, He changes. And we don't have to worry about him drinking and drugging. Christ wants his change. That doesn't mean he won't have a relapse every now and then. But when he does, his heart is broken. When Christ comes into mine and your life, you and I have had relapses. Maybe not out in... I can't say I've... Folks get up and, one guy said I was a teenage dope fiend. I just said I was teenage dope. About the same. But when Christ comes, the key, the victory, he said, do the work of an evangelist, Timothy. Go out and get people saved. Sometimes that means knocking on their door. Sometimes that means just inviting them. Come to church. Sometimes you say, well, I just wouldn't know how to do that. You mean you learn all these other things and can't learn how to lead somebody with a plan of salvation? Last week, one of the guys that came out, and neither one of them were there last week, but both of them had been in that Tuesday afternoon group that I'm talking about. This is a 45-day treatment center where they go in for drug and alcohol. One of those guys, a long-term friend of mine, I went to school with in college. And I got him in that treatment because of his drinking problem. And now he's in another facility. But in the process, he met a young man in there. I say young man, he's 30. That's young to me. Man, 50's young to me anymore. I hate that. Don't anybody dare giggle. He met a young man who called him and said he was just really frustrated, having some problems. And he's working over, they ruled him suicidal. And so the MHMR, mental health, people have got a hold of him. That's why he went through the treatment. He's unstable. And this guy... said, hey, why don't you go to church with us? He said, I'll do that. And I just want to get out of here. I'll go anywhere. I'll go to church. He said, good. So anyway, I happened to be speaking over in a little Christian church that day. And so we went by and picked him up and took him with us. On the way back, this friend of mine turned to him and he said, call him my name. He said, if you were to die today, where, and you were to stand before God, where do you think you'd spend eternity? And without going into a word-by-word story, driving down those streets, taking him back to where he lived, we bow, and he asked Jesus Christ to come into his life. You want to solve the suicide problem? Get him to Christ. You want to solve most of the mental problems in the United States today? See, sin makes us stupid. Sin makes, and we need to solve the sin problem. We could have just put him on Ritalin, I guess. I'm sure they've done a bunch of that. They've tried everything in the world. We keep trying things. You know why we got so many drug addicts? They start in about the second grade with Ritalin. We're training them. And then we're saying, well, I don't know why. 95% of all the Ritalin sold in the world, sold in America. We are such a great country. We have got more attorneys than the rest of the world put together. Because you get on Ritalin, you're going to need them. And we got more drug addicts than the rest of the world put together. They bring it over here to sell it. See, the people, the smart people in drug business don't use it. They just sell it. They know better than that. And you and I have the answer. Paul knew Timothy had the answer. Do the work of an evangelist. Talk to people about Jesus Christ. Tell them about Christ. That he can save them. He can solve their problem. Tell them about Christ. One of the kicks, I guess, or one of the bad reactions that many of us get that maybe have learned some truths in the Bible and the mystery truth is that we just harass other Christians instead of leading people to Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to tell you what, it's much easier to take a brand new Christian and teach them the truth of the mystery than it is to take somebody that's steeped in some other belief for years. I found this out that when the JWs come to the door, or the little guys in their white shirts riding a bicycle and their ties, and they show up, I don't try to. I've got the Book of Mormon, but we don't discuss that. Do you know what we discuss? That I've learned to discuss. Same thing with the Jehovah Witness. Same thing with these other people. I learned to discuss one thing. If you were to die right now, the people come by and said, you have got to be immersed in water to get to heaven. I said, okay, I got immersed. I believe you. Now then, I am guaranteed heaven, right? No. Wait a minute. I'm doing the things you tell me to do. Am I guaranteed? Well, you've got to live it. Define that for me. Hey, let me tell you about a Savior that will guarantee you heaven. There's no use trying to discuss things that don't have anything to do with it. That's like trying to discuss algebra with someone that can't add. We need to learn the rudiments, the ABC. So he said, Timothy, first thing first, you do the work of an evangelist. I know you're an apostle, Timothy. That's wonderful and great, and I praise God for that, but you do the work of the evangelist. You get out here and tell people about Jesus Christ. You want to make full proof of your ministry. Notice this didn't say fool proof. Some of us probably couldn't do that. I couldn't make fool proof of my ministry because I've been a fool too many times. But I can make full proof. Here's how we make full proof of our ministry. Watching, enduring afflictions, and doing the work of an evangelist. And let me tell you, you start doing the work of an evangelist, and you'll endure some affliction. It's the most rewarding thing in the world. Let's bow our heads. In a moment, we're going to be dismissed. We'll leave and go our separate ways, have lunch somewhere. But before we do that, maybe, just maybe, you're here today. and you've never trusted this Jesus Christ that I've talked about. And if I'm going to be right according to what Paul told Timothy, then I need to do the work of an evangelist. I need to tell you that Jesus loves you and that he will save you forever. Now, I'm not asking you if you're a church member. I'm not asking you if you've ever been in the baptismal waters. I'm not asking you if you belong to some denomination. What I'm asking you is, have you ever put your faith in trust? Have you ever said, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Would you please save me? Have you ever done that? And while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, nobody's looking around, you'd say, Leland, to be honest, I've never done that. Would you just slip up your hand and put it there? I've never done it. I've never trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. All right. As far as I know, everybody in here knows the Lord. But I wanted to do the work of an evangelist before we proceed. Most of us haven't done that. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands now. You're God's child. And this is between you and him. And I'm just going to pray that the Lord would help make us an evangelist. That he would help us when we endure the afflictions. And that we would be watchful and make full proof of the ministry he's given each of us. Maybe we never speak to groups. It's just to our children. Our grandchildren, the neighbor next door, somebody at Walmart, somebody at work. But we want to do what the Lord's asked us to do in the time that we've got left to do it. Father, help me first before I comment on anybody. Father, help me to practice the things I've been saying. And Father, help us as your children. My, it's so easy to get involved in so many things and to get our focus off a priority. I think if this had not been a priority, that you'd have not had Paul to tell Timothy this in the last book ever written, the last chapter of that book. So, Father, just help us to be more dedicated to you. Thank you for those that were here today. I pray that I've been a blessing. And that everybody would leave here exhorted for Christ's sake. In his name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.